I was wondering if you could talk about the background of those songs and what you would say to children who are feeling broken or rejected, either because of their families or their churches.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the first part of that. Could you ask me that again?
Sure.
About the first part of that. You went from the Lay Your Hands on Me to the children.
To Miss Me.
Lay Your Hands on Me and Miss You, Miss Me. I said there were great songs about strength and comfort, and I was wondering if you could talk about the background of those songs and what you would say to kids who are feeling broken or rejected by family.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you were talking about two different songs, Lay Your Hands on Me and Miss You, Miss Me. It's my accent. Anyway, the background. Yes, on the background on Lay Your Hands on Me, I just always loved that song, and when I first heard it years ago, it just sounded like a gospel song, because I grew up in the church where people, you know, did lay hands on just to pray for the sick or just to make you feel better, you know, just with a spiritual thing. So I just thought it would be a good album or a good song to turn into a gospel song, just having a conversation with God. And so I asked John Bon Jovi and Richie if they would consider reworking it and, you know, working it into a gospel tune, and they were willing to do that. And it turned out to be one of my favorites. And as far as the Miss You, Miss Me song, I had a niece that was going through a divorce, and my little grandniece that was part of that whole divorce was feeling, you know, like she just didn't quite understand why there was such problems between her mom and her dad. And so that's what inspired that particular song. And I also used it for a movie of the week, a Christmas movie, that had a subject about one of the little girls. The little main character in that movie was going through a similar thing with her parents. But I just think that so many children get caught up in the divorce, and the children are left to be made to feel like they've done something wrong, when two grown people, even if they can't get along, should be more considerate where the children are concerned.
Exactly. So much.
All right, next is Deborah Evans Price. Deborah, go ahead.
Hi, Deborah.
Sally, good morning. I'd heard, honey, that you had shipped your buses from Australia to Europe for this tour. What prompted you to do that?
Well, because I love living on the bus, and we've been on tour so many times through the years, and I've found that I just love living on the bus as opposed to going in and out of hotels, because I can always keep all of my things on the bus. So we have two buses running all the time on these tours. If we have to fly from point A to point B, we always have one of the buses that are almost identical, that are stopped almost the same way. So it just gives me a feeling of being home all the time. I don't have to scatter my stuff. I don't have to carry all that luggage in and out of hotels. And I'm just a gypsy. This is my caravan.
Great. Thank you.
Randy Dawn, go ahead.
Hi, Dolly. I have a very important question. Can you update me on the status of Doggy Parton and when you'll know if you can take her home?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, in the last 5 minutes, just before we went on, we got a call from the main people with the government, and they told us that the true owners did come forward. They had reported the dog missing. It was a language barrier. I think they were from another country. And they got the dog back. Everybody feels good about it. I do not get to take her home. I was looking forward to it. I was going to rename her Glassy, because of Glastonbury. I was going to say Glassy Comes Home. But they want her, and they feel good about that. And I have been very instrumental in making sure that the dog has been taken care of all the way through, with the needs and the research of the owner. So now we have her back. She's 15 years old. They thought at one time she was 7, but she's 15. And so everybody's happy to be back where she belongs. And I feel kind of sad, because I was looking forward to taking her home. But I'm glad she's back where she belongs, and they feel good about it. So the Happy Landing Shelter has a happy ending now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cindy Watts, you're next in line.
Hi, Cindy. Cindy Watts, hi.
I guess we'll have to go back to Cindy. TJ, are you on the line? TJ.
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Dolly.
Hi, TJ. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, darling?
Good.
I was just wondering, we're at Instinct Magazine, which is a gay publication, and obviously your connection to the gay community is so strong and undeniable. Is there a song or album that you over the years have always heard from your gay fans that they particularly connect with?
Oh, I think a lot of my fans relate to different songs. A lot of them like the song "Light of a Clear Blue Morning." It's a very uplifting song. You know, it's really kind of a song of overcoming different things. But I think they relate to just my songs in general. Hopefully, I think they relate to me more than any particular songs, although at some point I would like to do a dance record, and I have several songs that are very positive toward the gay community. Like I have a fun little song called "Just a Wee Bit Gay." It's a great little dance tune, and it's just funny and got a lot of comedy in it. But anyhow, so I do write a lot of songs along those lines with people that are different and unusual, and people that are, you know, that just themselves, and people won't allow them to be who they are. So I have a lot of those good, positive, uplifting songs, and hopefully eventually I'll get out there.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Christy with People.
Hi there, Dolly. How are you?
Well, I'm good, Christy. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So I'm going to go back to the Dolly Parton thing for just 5 seconds, but you mentioned being disappointed about not being able to take her home with you. Do you think that you'll find a new dog to adopt from the Happy Landing shelter to maybe bring back to America?
Well, no, I don't believe we'll be looking for. I have a big responsibility at home. I just really, my heart went out to this particular dog because of the way I just thought it was just meant to be somehow. It was just so, you know, it was just so touching to me that she got lost there at the festival where we were. And I most definitely wanted to make sure when we all became aware that this dog was lost and found like that, just really broke our hearts that someone could abandon it. But I'm not looking to adopt another dog. This one was the one I was definitely going to make sure that she was okay no matter what. I would have taken her, raised her, I would have changed her name to Glassy for the Glassy bird, because I couldn't very well call her Dolly. But I would have called her Doggy. I would have called her Glassy Doggy Parton, though. I was kind of disappointed that I didn't get to take her, but I'm very happy that she's back where she'll be comfortable and safe. And they told me also at the end that she would have been too old to have traveled. I would not have been able to take her had they not found the owner, because she was not in great health and 15 years old, and they thought it was going to be, you know, would have traumatized her to have traveled. So I guess God knows what he's doing, and everything's back in order, and I'm just thankful that everybody played their part, and I was not going to drop the ball nor the dog. So now she's safe and everything's good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Emma, are you on the line? All right, Bob Paxman. Bob, go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Hey, Dolly.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
All right. I wanted to ask you, since you're in the midst of this world tour, if there is a, you know, maybe a significant difference between overseas audiences and American audiences, perhaps in the way they react or respond to certain songs?
Yeah, I think that what the main difference is, I think in America, people know that they can, they're great. I mean, I love all my audiences, and they're all wonderful. But I think in America, they know they're going to get to see you because, you know, you're there all the time. But the main difference is when we're overseas, you don't get to come that often, and they really, really, really go out of their way to let you know how much they love you, how happy they are to see you. And if they don't see you again, they just want you to remember that they appreciated you being there. So it's really, there's an excitement that you can't hardly describe. It's really just time and space, I suppose. It's like just saying, well, I don't know when I'll see you, but here you are, so let's just make the absolute most of this. And that's how I respond to them as well. So I try to give them everything I possibly can in case I don't get a chance to come back for years and years and years or ever. But they're a wonderful audience, and I love them all, though. Don't take nothing from my American audience. I love them also.
All right, everyone, we have 10 minutes left, so if you could go right into your question. Ned Hepburn, please.
Hey, Dolly, how you doing?
Hello, Ned.
Good to speak to you. I'm doing an article on heartbreak, and I was basically wondering how you, Dolly Parton, would get over heartbreak.
Well, the way everybody else does, you have to just have time has to heal all wounds, as they say. And I'm one of those people that I wound easy, but I heal fast. And but I mean, you just have to. You know, I always thought about a broken heart is like a broken bone. And I even wrote about that, you know, in a song. It's like a broken heart is like a broken wing. It must have its time to mend. It's like any other injury, and it's usually a terrible, terrible heartache. Usually it takes about a year to really, really heal, but some of them can heal a little faster, but you just kind of look at it like an injury, and you just try to think positive, try to live above it, try to live beyond it, and but you got to wallow with that sorrow while it lasts. You can't outrun it. You got to roll with the sorrow, too.
All right, Nelson Garcia, are you on the line?
Yes, hello, Dolly.
Hello.
Yes, hello, Dolly.
Hello.
Go ahead, Nelson.
I am with 55 Plus Magazine in Southeast Florida. We have a 55 Plus population of about 2 million in this area, and they would love to know how you maintain such an abundant positive energy over almost five decades of your career. And secondly, you just performed Jolene at the Glastonbury Festival 40 years after its release in 1974. How does it make you feel that this song is still so recognized?
Seven people in line.
Well, first of all, Jolene, I'm just so proud of that little song. A lot of people don't realize it, but that's the song that I've written that has been recorded more than any other song by other artists throughout the world, and I still enjoy singing it. And it makes me feel great that song, I think it's just so easy to sing. It's just got that bouncy little feeling, and I think a lot of people relate to it. And so I'm very proud of Jolene and glad people are still liking it. And as far as the other stuff, well, I just work. I have a good attitude. I love my work. I think it's important that people be busy, stay busy, try to be creative. And I don't think the years matter so much if you really make yourself busy. Of course, you see yourself getting older. You notice little things, you know, as the years go by. But that doesn't mean you need to stop and you just need to take care of those things as they come along. But keep a good attitude about everything else, and I try to keep myself, like I say, busy and creative. I have good doctors, good makeup, a good attitude, and whatever it takes to keep myself looking better and feeling better, that's what I'm going to try to do from now on.
All right. Thank you, Nelson. Annie with CBS, are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hi, Dolly. I wanted to know if you had any future plans for touring after the summer and if you're working on any new music as well.
Well, I'm going to take off a little while. I'm working on some new music. I'm doing My Life Story as a musical. I'm also doing My Life Story as a movie, which also has a lot of music in it. And I may possibly do some television and some producing. So I've got a lot of other business thoughts in mind, but I do not plan to do any more touring in the near future. We've done this world tour, and we're winding that up pretty soon. I'm sure as years go by, we'll be doing other things. But for now, I'm going to concentrate more on more of the business end of the things and the creative stuff with, like I say, the musical and the movies and the TV.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Annie. Steven, are you on the line, Steve Betts?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead, Steven.
Dolly, I am. Since you talked about the movie, I'm wondering. Obviously, you had a presence in the movie From Hollywood to Dollywood, but we haven't seen you act in a film since Joyful Noise. Is acting something that you are likely to get back into soon?
Well, only if I get good scripts. I'm not opposed to it. I've got a lot of things I'd like to do, but I do hope to do some more movies. I would like to do, as I mentioned, some TV things as well, maybe some TV movies of the week. And do some, if I get a great script for a movie, I'm certainly not opposed to doing it. But for now, we actually, after Joyful Noise, we went right into working on our world tour. So I got back into the music and recording our new Blue Smoke CD, which we have out now, and we've been promoting that along with the world tour. So if the movies come in, yes, we'll do it. And just always looking for a good script, though.
Tommy Garrett. You're next.
Dolly, you just played for Glastonbury in the United Kingdom. I'd like to know how it felt to play for a crowd of a staggering 100,000 people at this point in your career?
Well, there were a lot of people there, I'll tell you, as a sea of people. But to me, I enjoyed it. It didn't scare me. I've worked in front of a lot of people, but that was a lot of people. But to me, I look at those fans, and I just love them all. They're, they can be 100,000, they can be a 10,000, but I still, you know, just play to them all the same. But looking out, I have to say, in Glastonbury, it was more people than I've ever seen at one time just looking out. You know, at it, but we had a really good time. They seemed to enjoy it. Got a lot of great positive press. I was really shocked and surprised that we did as well as we did. I wasn't really expecting anything other than just to go out and do my show, but it's turned into something really, really special, and it makes me feel real good that people accepted me that well. It's something that popular.
Thank you.
Cindy Thank Watts, you. Are you on the line?
I think Cindy don't want to talk to me.
Winnie, how about you? Winnie McCroy.
Hi, Dolly. This is Winnie McCroy from Brooklyn.
Hello.
I am calling. Thank you. I'm calling because you're about to go platinum with your Cracker Barrel exclusive, An Evening with Dolly Parton. And I wanted to ask you, how does it feel at this point, decades into your career, to still be putting out these gold and platinum albums?
Well, you know what? It's just anything good that ever happens to me, I'm always grateful for it. I don't care how old I get, any little award or any kind of acknowledgement. The fact that people still love my music and the fact that I still want to do it, I always say that I would still be doing my music even if I had to sell it out of the trunk of my car. So it makes me feel good. And my relationship with Cracker Barrel has been great. They're absolutely wonderful. We make a great team. And so we're very proud of all the success of all the records. And the Blue Smoke is doing great right now worldwide, and I'm very excited that it's doing so great.
Mickey Boardman.
Hi, Dolly. I love how you've always said that the Town Tramp was a fashion inspiration for you as a young girl, and you have become such a fashion icon for so many people, and I'm wondering if you could talk about what it was about the Town Tramp that you liked so much, and if you have any fashion icons today who you are always excited about to see how they're dressing and who you think are great.
Well, I actually love anything that glitters and shines. I love a lot of color. I love close-fitting clothes. You know me, I always say I buy my clothes two sizes too small, and then I have them taken in a little bit. So, but I just really like my clothes to fit me good, and that was one of the things about the Town Tramp. She had a lot of color, a lot of flair. She showed her legs. She showed her boobs. She showed her waistline. She had her on the nails. She had her hair all piled up. She just was really... I just thought she was absolutely beautiful, and that's the way I felt inside, because of all, you know, I'm not a natural beauty. I wasn't born with all of that stuff, so I kind of have to paint and powder and put it all on. So the way I dress, just kind of fits the way I feel, and I've always been very comfortable with that. And it honestly is the truth that I patterned my look after that, because I was impressed. To me, that was what beauty was, and that just fit my style right down. But I just, anybody now, you said, do I have any? I just always, it catches my eye if anybody's bold enough to do something a little different, and I still love all the flair and the gaud.
Did you ever keep in touch with the Town Tramp? Does she know how she inspired you?
Oh, absolutely not. no, I didn't. I knew her name. I know her name, but I would never, ever, ever use it because I don't know if her folks knew she was the Town Tramp. I don't know if she knew she was the Town Tramp. That's what everybody called her. She probably wasn't a tramp. She may have been very much like me, just somebody that wanted to be more. You know, they always say that less is more. I always thought that's the biggest crock I ever heard. More is more. Less is less. I want more.
All right. Thank you so much, Mickey. And next, we're going to Ray Rose. Ray.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Dolly. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm brilliant, thanks. First of all, congratulations at Glastonbury. I've never seen anything quite so engaging. What a tremendous performance. I wondered, how did you feel about all that nonsense about whether you were miming or not?
Oh, you know what? Every time I go on tour, I hear that. I like people to just come and watch, see what I do, and then you tell me what you think. But they say that about every artist, and I'm not getting into that. I'm right there. I'm Dolly, and I'm singing, and I don't think somebody's always got to have something negative to say, and so I just roll with the punches.
Yeah, I must admit, I felt exactly the same. I thought, you know, just take the performance for what it was, world-class performance, and something incredibly engaging. And then there was that negativity, and I thought, just get out my life. What are you talking about, you people?
Well, they even talked about the dog. There was a cute thing on one of the stories about the dog, the Dolly dog. They said that we were wondering, was she barking or was she lip-syncing? I thought that was pretty funny. Was the dog barking or was she lip syncing? So anyway, the dog took it. We just took it in stride.
Last question, David Lefkowitz.
Oh, thank you so much, Dolly, and a pleasure. My question Thank you. You've been crossing over into pop for decades, but how do you still straddle this country music kind of image problem where media portrays them as kind of conservative, right-wing, anti-Obama, anti-abortion, kind of honk-if-you-love-America versus liberal left-wing Hollywood? How do you straddle that line, and how do you suggest other country artists do the same?
Well, I don't usually get into any of the political stuff. I've been Dolly all the way through. People know who I am. They know I'm very open, loving of all people, accepting of all things. I'm an American girl. I've got the freedom to, you know, to do whatever, and I've been always blessed with that. So I just write my songs. I do my thing my own way. I say what I say, and people either accept it or don't. But I think I've been around so long, people just kind of think of me as a family member. And I think they know I'm not out to do any harm nor to get too political on anything. I'm just a living human being trying to do the best I can.
And you do it great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call today. Dolly, just one more question. You're about to go to Switzerland, and it'll be your last shows. And there's some people on the call from Switzerland, so I just wanted to get your viewpoint on wrapping up the European tour and just a quick recap of your feelings of what it's been like over here in Europe and closing it out in Switzerland before going home.
Well, first of all, we've had an absolutely wonderful tour, the whole European tour. Everywhere we've been, the audiences have been great, and the fact that we are closing out in Switzerland is absolutely great, and they say it's one of the most beautiful venues that we'll play. It's an outdoor show. We're looking forward to that, and we couldn't end on a better note, so I'm so looking forward to that. And so that's going to be a great way to end it and a great way to head home, and hopefully that'll be our best show yet.